So you know the stats. It's 1 in 4 women will experience severe physical violence at the hands of an intimate partner in their lifetime. So think about the ability of someone who's cooped up inside. Like, so you've got, you know, a survivor of domestic violence trying to keep the peace and trying to herd children maybe, and really trying to just do one's best to get through the day. And now everybody's cooped up inside. And all those ways that you might mitigate, or you might diffuse, or you might, you know, bring it down a notch, like, that's not available to you. And so it's not like you can walk out the door. It's not like you can know that your partner's going to go off to work, maybe. You know, all the things, mm-hmm. the grocery store, what have you, get a break. And so where there's domestic violence during periods of sheltering in place, it's not, it doesn't go well.
Well, and you think about, kids are around to see things now in these times. There's just if you've never experienced it, it's got to be just a terrible feeling of just being almost, I mean, it feels like you're trapped.
Well, it's terrifying, and there's no escape from it. You know, you think all the things, like, maybe I could call 911, or maybe, you know, I can get out the door. I mean, you get out the door, but there's nowhere to go, right?
Yeah.
Not in weather like this. And certainly, you know, in all things, people responsible and doing their thing, they're out there shoveling, they're getting things, but a survivor of domestic violence doesn't get to decide those things. You know, if we're not going to shovel out, we're not going to shovel out. You know, so you're cooped up, and you're at the mercy of what someone decides is your fate that day. And domestic violence happens at any time, and it happens at night, and it happens in the morning, and it happens, you know, whenever. But when everybody's cooped up inside, it's just a little recipe for things not going well, and it's a prolonged period of time.
We should mention the hotline number. It's 24 hours, 540-373-9373. And that's there. But again, what you have described, a lot of times you don't have access. Person wouldn't have access to that.
We closed our public office for a couple of days, and we opened again yesterday on Wednesday, and it was crazy busy. It was also crazy busy before the storm. So, you know, I don't know what that tells you, you know, but I guess the first part is the anticipation, like that nervousness that folks are going to be, you know, trapped inside and not have access. Things are escalating with domestic violence. But then you're in the storm. And we, of course, our shelter's open and our hotline's open, and everybody's communicating and talking through situations. But we've had a lot of, like, people not even being able to have frank conversations. You know, even if they have access to a phone and they can get a phone call out, it doesn't mean that it's easy to plan the next steps.
It's a scary time, and it makes you realize that sometimes feeling like, oh, you know, it's too cold, there's too much snow. There are people that are dealing with almost life and death kind of issues right now because of the weather.
Well, if you are trapped inside and you know that there's help on the outside, you know, that is a sense of hope. But if you're being told, or if you believe, because you look out your window, that no one's coming for you,
yeah,
you know, no one's going to help you. No one's going to hear you scream. No one's going to, you know, you can't get a response. Who's going to help you? You know, some of the things that we, you know, that we encounter as we work with folks are being sent outside with no shoes and a nightgown, things like that, and the door locking. So, you know, with domestic violence, you might call that physical violence. Whether that would, you know, whether that would rise to the level of something like an assault and battery, something that's illegal, you could argue, right? Maybe a lawyer could argue that. But that is a very common thing that we see where people get like pushed out of the house, locked out, all their stuff thrown out, or maybe their stuff isn't thrown out. Maybe they're just like, you're on your own, shut the door. And, you know, you can imagine in this weather, somebody's not going to survive that.
No.
So there's just so many ways that survivors of domestic violence are at the mercy of someone who's harming them. And, you know, this idea of, well, why don't they just leave is, if it's that difficult, is not, there's no simple solution there. And I think that's the harder thing for people to understand is, you know, there's lots of things that make it very difficult to leave a domestic violence situation. So it's been a tough number of years ever since COVID and shrinking government funds. So when you say, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you say, oh, funding. So, you know, we are in need always of supplies. And I think those are things that people think of and it's so appreciated. Those are things we don't have to buy. And, you know, with a shelter full of 30 some people, mm-hmm. you know, the supplies are always needed. What is less known, yet known to some, thankfully, is the importance of contributions, financial contributions. So when folks want to do that, make a charitable gift, it's a write-off on the taxes, it's all year long, it's not just one season. We accept financial contributions all the time, and our website, empowerhouseva.org, is a great place to find that link. Fortunately, people are finding it, and we are going to, you know, keep on keeping on. It's never a bad time to help. And I also think it's great that folks who are retired and making their distributions have found that they save on their taxes when mm-hmm. they are able to make that gift and however they make that gift. And so, you know, we're happy to help folks get that purpose. But what I was thinking about when you said help a friend is I was thinking how much folks may not know about the whole youth, healthy relationships, teen dating violence kinds of resources. And if they go to our website, they can find a lot of information on healthy relationships and, you know, young people are at home and whether they're getting assignments or not, they can explore on their own. But right as a link from our website is loveisrespect.org. So February is National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And I think what's important for folks to think about when they hear that is not 100% the violence word, because I think for whatever reason, people are very hung up on that, and they should be. I mean, it's a real thing, and it's happening within relationships, and it's happening otherwise. What people might not know is the vast resources that are out there that speak to healthy relationships, and those are things that young people could really take advantage of. And we can come to schools and talk about those things, and we do, and it's really well received by admin, by teachers, by students especially, and they're interactive and engaging. But there's also information on websites, and I hope that people will spend some time, some precious time, looking at those resources.